So let's talk, before we jump into this, let me make a connection. In English, when the King James translators wrote the word atonement, I love that word. I think William Tyndale invented that word, and it was absolutely fantastic. At-one-ment, it's a great word. But it's not what it meant in Greek. In the original languages from which the Bible was written, atonement comes from the Greek word kafar. Anyone know what kafar means? Atonement in its very root means a covering. Atonement means covering. Now think about all that we do in the temple regarding being covered. You shouldn't be surprised if you're asked to take coverings off. Imitation coverings. Coverings that are not going to keep you covered. And put on. You should be expecting to be covered. Throughout the temple, you should be expecting to be covered. Now, we've seen that throughout the gospel, right? The very first time you were covered was in a baptismal font. What happened if an arm stuck out or you didn't quite go on? If you weren't covered, we redid it, right? You have to be covered. You're going to see it all throughout the scriptures. Let me have you think about an odd one. I want you to think of receiving a priesthood blessing. Can you relax your eyes a little bit? Tell me what you see. When I receive a priesthood blessing, what position am I usually in? A humble position. I'm usually seated, arms folded, head bowed, right? Tell me what the priesthood is doing. Tell me, especially when there's multiple people giving me a blessing, tell me what they're doing. They're covering me. They're covering me. And the idea, the symbolism here is, if you will yield to Christ, his instructions, he will cover you. Now, another beautiful image, especially you're going to find it in the temple, would be a veiled woman. It's become a tradition to wear a veil when you get married, right? Most brides will wear a veil. Anyone know where that tradition came from? Why do brides typically wear a veil on their wedding day? It's a gospel image because Jesus is marrying the church. Remember the bridegroom? They're waiting for the bridegroom. Well, who's the bride? The church is the bride. And the idea is that veiled woman is covered. He is covering his bride. He is covering the church. So that's a very common gospel image that Jesus wants to cover us. He wants to cover our sins. He wants to cover us. So let's take that into the temple. Now, we're actually going to study the scriptures because the Lord reveals a lot in the scriptures for our understanding. Remember what gets held up during your endowment as if to say, hey, you want to understand more? Go here. So let's turn to Moses. We'll do the JST of Genesis. Let's go to Moses chapter 3. Last verse of Moses chapter 3 borders on being an inappropriate scripture. When we read it, you're going to kind of raise an eyebrow to say, wow, that's kind of an odd scripture to find, an odd verse, an odd description to find in the scriptures. So relax your eyes and let's see the symbolism. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Kind of a weird verse, right? It's like, okay, that's a temple. Yes, that's a temple image. It's a scripture image. They were both naked. Okay, so relax your eyes. Don't think about what you're thinking about. And tell me what nakedness would symbolize. What does nakedness symbolize? Okay, there are things I would like to keep hidden. There are things in my life I don't want you to see. Do you see the symbolism? But the fact that they were naked and not ashamed suggests I have nothing to hide. I have nothing to hide. How many husbands could hand their wife their phone at any moment and say, I am nothing to hide? There is nothing on my phone. Do you see that naked and not ashamed? But most people are naked and ashamed. I am exposed and I'm embarrassed. You're seeing things I didn't want you to see and I'm humiliated. That's what I'm trying to avoid. These two were naked and not ashamed, nothing to hide. That's the relationship I want to have with my wife. Unashamed because I have nothing to hide. Not perfect, but I'm not hiding anything from you. Not on my phone, not in the darkness, not anywhere. Adam and Eve were naked and ashamed.
I think also it would be like being born again and
cleansed.
Yeah.
Yeah, innocent because of cleansing.
And they're new.
But they were naked and ashamed and unashamed, right? Until when? In the very, very next chapter, verse 12, they partake. They partake. They've done something that Heavenly Father asked them not to do, and now they are no longer naked and ashamed. Unashamed. Sorry. Thank you. They are now naked and ashamed. There's something I'd like to hide. This is the moment you've done something that you don't want Heavenly Father to see. You don't want your parents to see. You don't want your spouse to see. I would like to hide what I've done. So tell me the words that jump off the page in verse 13. There's some very symbolic words here. Tell me the words that catch your attention.
Their eyes were opened.
Okay. Their eyes are opened. They knew they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Tell me what we make for ourselves to hide. I think there are a lot of words. I want to jump into this one. Fig leaves are what you and I make for ourselves to hide. In fact, you're going to see that word, right? Well, we'll see it in the next verse. Let me get to, they're going to hide. And this is human nature. I want to hide. I want to hide from God. I want to hide from spouse. I want to hide from family. I want to hide from the church. And so the fig leaves symbolize everything that we do to hide. I'd invite you to ponder briefly, what are your fig leaves? What do you put on to hide? Anyone want to share a possible fig leaf? Not necessarily yours, but tell me what we do to put on. Tell me what we hide underneath. What do we cover ourselves to hide? Can I just throw some out there? Very common, we close the door. We hide behind a closed door. Do you ever find yourself closing the door? Okay. You've got a fig leaf on. Darkness is a fig leaf. I'll do it in the dark so no one notices. Austin?
In terms of the mentality, there's self-deception.
Self-deception is a very common one. Rationalization, justification. There's so many modern-day fig leaves. I think the best thing we can do, if I'm going to find Jesus, if I want to find Jesus in the temple, I have to go in there having identified how I hide from God. How I hide from my spouse, how I hide from society, how I hide. What do you hide? What are your fig leaves? These are man-made. They made themselves aprons. And there comes a moment where you're going to put on your man-made apron. Tell me what Heavenly Father's doing. He's inviting you to examine your life and say, what are you hiding underneath? I know we've talked, we use this picture a lot. There's my fig leaf. I keep him at a distance. I cover myself with the closed door. Time is often a fig leaf. If I can just put enough time and distance, then I've hid. I've hidden. This is the invitation. Get out of the terrestrial and get into the celestial. You've got to uncover. You've got to take the fig leaf off. Now, back to Adam and Eve. Let me show you the tendency, right? So they covered themselves with aprons. How well do our man-made fig leaves cover us? They're not very good at it, right? Let me give you a common fig leaf, and that is we lie. I didn't do it. Wasn't me. We lie. We straight up lie. And cover ourselves with a lie. But have you ever noticed what happens when you cover yourself with a lie? None of you are wearing fig leaves today. It is not common clothing because why would you not come to Institute wearing a fig leaf? It's going to come off. And then you're going to be naked and ashamed. So tell me what we do. Rather than take it off and embrace that and get the covering God wants us to have, notice what they do in the very next verse. They know the fig leaves aren't going to work. So what do? They heard the voice of the Lord as they were walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife went to, there's the word, hide. This time where? They're already hiding behind their fig leaves. Now where they go? Now they hide behind the trees, bigger and stronger. The fig leaves aren't working for me, so I need a new one. I need a bigger, stronger. In the latter days, the prophecy in the Book of Mormon is, men's sins will be how big? What will they want to use to cover themselves from God when he comes? Mountains. They will want mountains to cover. And I wonder how many of us in this room are wishing I had a mountain to cover me and hide. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees. Can I give you a really sad example? Anyone recognize this couple? Some of you have been in previous classes where we've done this, but this is Mark and Lori Hacking. Anyone remember the story? It's getting to the point where I don't remember the year, but it's been a while. Mark and Lori Hacking, happily married couple. He was a returned missionary. Here's another picture of them. They look like a happy couple, right? Lori was working, I believe, at a bank, and Mark was a student at the University of Utah. Or so he told Lori. She was paying his tuition, and he was not going to class. Now, that's something you hide from your wife, right? When she pays your tuition and you don't go to class. And where was he going and what was he doing? Mark was hiding that from his wife. He was not going to class. Now, how long can you hide that? When's that fig leaf going to come off? 4 years, right? She's going to expect him to graduate. And if he's not graduating, then he's going to be naked and ashamed. So Mark has to come up with a bigger lie. He tells his wife, Lori, that he's been accepted into medical school and that they're moving to Georgia. He just bought himself 4 more years. He's got a bigger covering. He's covered his lies with a lie, and they're going to move. And whatever he was doing, he's covered it. Except Lori got curious about housing, called the university, and found out he was never accepted to medical school. What would your next phone call be before you called Mark? Where would your next phone call be? As you're gathering information, she calls the University of Utah, and guess what she finds out? He has not been attending classes. And the fig leaves start to come off. Now, can you imagine what happened that night when Mark got home? Can you imagine that conversation? Now, here's Mark's perspective. Now Lori knows, but no one else knows. So Mark had a bigger fig leaf. That night, Mark Hacking shot his wife and killed her. He threw her body in the dumpster, and it was taken to the landfill. This is a whole bunch of people looking for Lori Hacking, at least her body. He covered all of his lies, covered the one person who knew. He covered all of his lies with garbage. Now, luckily, the police are pretty good at pulling fig leaves off, aren't they? And now Mark is naked and ashamed in front of the whole world, including Lori's family. Yeah, do you see the tendency? Allow me to invite you to examine your life. If you really want to find Jesus in the temple, you have to take your fig leaves off. You have to take the fig leaves off. You have to take what you're hiding behind off. There's the get out of the terrestrial world and take off the fig leaf. Whatever self-justification, whatever lies, whatever you've done to hide, you've got to take it off. During the temple, during that process, you are going to hear that word. Remove. There's the covenant. That is the temple covenant. To remove. To remove the fig leaf. Adam and Eve, do that. I heard thy voice. I heard thy voice, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself. But he's unhiding himself. He's being vulnerable. He's opening the door. He's approaching God and saying, I'm sorry, I've been hiding. And I take it off. I remove. Eve comes forward and says in verse 18, I ate the fruit. I did what you asked me not to do. Call that whatever you want. Call that repentance. but you take off the fig leaf. Search your soul and figure out what your fig leaf is. And then when you go to the temple and you put it on, and you think to yourself, oh, this is what I do. I'm hiding from God. And then he's going to look you in the eye and say, remove. Remove all the coverings. Remove the trees. Remove the fig leaves. Remove what you put on to hide. And come and be and open the door. Now tell me what Heavenly Father does when they come out of hiding, when they lay down the fig leaves. And this is, again, a very temple moment. This is a temple image in verse 27. After they uncovered themselves, scared to death, remember the woman with the issue of blood, fearing and trembling, she uncovered herself and came and spoke. Then unto Adam and unto his wife did I, the Lord, make coats of skins. There's the opposite, fig leaves and coats of skins. I, the Lord, made coats of skins, and he clothed them. Instead of clothing themselves, he clothed them. Now, do you see the imagery? Where would Heavenly Father have gotten skins in the Garden of Eden? Where did he get the coats of skins? He killed an animal. Now, I know it doesn't say, but which animal do you think he killed to cover Adam and Eve? A lamb. And then you realize he killed the lamb. Do you see the symbolism? He killed the lamb and took the lamb's skins and covered Adam and Eve. Now, there's a lot of symbols going on, and they're all pointing to Jesus. You don't necessarily have to, they don't play against each other. So when you go to the temple, you will be given an object that symbolizes the coats of skins. You are putting on the atonement. You are putting on his covering. And that's a separate thing. That's a beautiful image, but that's not necessarily what we're talking about today. So your garment is a coat of skin. It is wearing the atonement. You wear the atonement. So if you understand that the garment is the atoning sacrifice that I'm putting on, can you understand why the second to last temple recommend question is, do you wear the garment? What's he really asking you? What is your bishop really asking you? Not, do you take your garment off when you shouldn't? What's he really asking you? Do you take the atonement off? Do you uncover yourself and take the atonement off? And that's powerful symbolism. When you take your garment off as a symbol of taking the atonement off. But that's not what, let's get back to what we're talking about. Let's talk about the fig leaf that is put down. The fig leaf that is dropped. I will no longer hide from God. I will remove. And then comes another word. You remember the other, you know the word? Not put back on. Don't put it back on. Replace. So tell me what you walk into the presence of the Father wearing. What do you go into the celestial room wearing? Not the fig leaves that you took off. You have removed them. What you put back on is the replacement. So all of a sudden, there's another symbol of the coats of skins. You have put on a replacement. And now it becomes a sacred symbol of the temple. if I can say this, when you put fig leaves on, it's the only thing you wear. When you replace it, it is not. Because now all of a sudden it becomes the sacred replacement for the fig leaves. And it represents a better covering. Will his covering come off? It never will. His covering will never come off. Now that leads to another one. Let me point to another covering. Let's transition. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. Hebrews 10. So let's talk about another covering. So we are covered by coats of skins. We are covered by a replacement for the fig leaves that I removed. In Hebrews chapter 10, Paul gives us another covering. So I want you to picture, I'm going to use the Old Testament. When I wanted to talk to God, I would go in and stand at the veil. I would stand at the veil because I wanted to talk to God who was in the Holy of Holies. Now, according to the Bible that we have today, I can't enter the Holy of Holies, right? So I stand at the veil to talk to Heavenly Father. Sound familiar? I'm standing at the veil to talk to Heavenly Father. What is covering me? What is covering me? The veil is covering me from the Father. How much of me does the Father see when I'm standing there? Does he see my hand? Does he see...
The temple of the Old Testament?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm now talking about our modern day temples. Does he see my hand? Does he? I see his. He doesn't see mine. The only thing the Father sees when I'm standing there is the veil. I am covered. The veil covers me. Now, tell me, what is the veil? So, I love this. Paul says, having, therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Jesus is the veil. And I go to the Father through Christ. I get to the Father by going through Christ. But I need to talk about that symbolism. If you will take off your fig leaf and put Jesus on, he covers you. The Father doesn't see you. The Father doesn't see you until when? You have come through Christ. Now, which part of you would you like to hide from the Father in a righteous way? He doesn't see me. He doesn't see me. He sees Jesus. Jesus places himself between me and the Father. And the only thing the Father sees is Christ. Until I have come through Christ. Do you understand what I'm trying to teach? That is one of the greatest messages I could send you. The Father doesn't see me until I have come through Christ. If I have taken off the fig leaves and put his covering on, the Father doesn't see me. Jesus filters out all that, and the Father doesn't see me until I have come through the Savior. That is the blessing. That is what happens when you are vulnerable and scary and you take off the fig leaves and you let the Savior in and are covered by Him. Now, let's read that in the Scriptures. There's this beautiful verse in the Doctrine and Covenants, section 45. Now, let me play this out. Let me play this out as an image of Judgment Day. Doctrine and Covenants, section 45. Let me play out the scene. Okay, Judgment Day is often portrayed as a courtroom scene or a physician healing you or a debt that gets paid. Let's go with the judgment scene. Let's go with the courtroom scene. Now, I am on trial. And I would guess I am probably the one prosecuting myself. I am the one that doesn't think I belong. I am the one that doesn't feel like I fit. I am the one that is always judging myself and tearing myself apart. And then my lawyer, my advocate, now pleads his case. Imagine the courtroom scene, and all the evidence against me is presented. Everything I tried to hide. Everything I did. Now you can imagine my expectation of exaltation is nothing at this moment, right? I am naked and very ashamed. And then my lawyer stands up. Verse 3, listen to the Savior's defense of me. Now, do you think he's going to stand up and say, okay, he did all those bad things, but look at the good things he did. Will the good things I did ever outweigh my memory of having done the bad things? I'm going to torment myself. And do you think that's going to be sufficient to say, yeah, he did some bad things, but he also did some good things. Listen. Yeah. Listen to the defense. Now, this is the defense. Ready? Listen to him who is advocating with the Father, who is pleading your cause before him. And I love this phrase, pleading your cause before him. Where am I? I'm right behind him. He is standing between me and the Father. And he is saying, Father, don't look at Bryce. Don't look at Bryce. Look at me. There's the shield. There's the covering. I'm not going to show you Bryce. I'm going to show you me. Father, behold the suffering and death of him who did no sin, in whom thou wast well pleased. Behold the blood of thy Son, which was shed, the blood of him whom thou gavest that thyself might be glorified. Are you looking at that, Father? Is that what you're focused on? Are you looking at the Son? Wherefore, Father, spare him. Spare him. Because he believes in me. That he may come unto me and have everlasting life. That is the covering. That is the covering before the Father. And the only way to get that covering is to take off the fig leaves, whatever they are. Scary to let Jesus in? Absolutely. But what happens when you do? You stand behind him. You stand behind him, and there's the Father. I think of that every time I stand at the veil. He can't see me. He can only see Jesus until I come through Jesus. Oh, how I bear you my testimony. It is so much better to wear a coat of skin than a fig leaf. That is why we wear the garment of the priesthood. It is a symbol of wearing him. And those who have taken their garments off have taken him off. And they are going to be naked before the Father. And then they will want the mountains to fall upon them. So much better to be covered in coats of skins and standing behind the Savior and then coming through him. I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.